Moses and Pharaoh, Chapter 30, Exodus 5, 6, and 7. Pharaoh, the new king of Egypt, stands in his palace looking out the window. His servants stand around him, reverently waiting for his orders. He is very rich and very powerful. He is king over the entire land of Egypt. Woe to that enemy who would venture to attack his country. His enormous army with its hundreds of chariots and thousands of horsemen would crush every aggressor. Beautiful palaces and temples stand in every section of the land. He himself is honored as a god. Besides, he rules over a great multitude of slaves. These slaves are the despised Israelites. Upon his orders, these slaves must work very hard from early morning until late at night. These slaves work for him, and by so doing, they make him still mightier and richer than he already is. They bake bricks. And with these bricks they make new cities and build new palaces and temples. When Pharaoh thinks of all this magnificence, a smile comes upon his face. Ah, all goes very well. Who knows? Probably he will become the most powerful king upon the whole earth. But look at those two plain-clothed men who suddenly come walking into the palace. They walk until they are close to this mighty king, and then they stand still. The king turns around and looks at them searchingly. He sees immediately that they are two Israelites. Thus, they are two of his slaves. Who are they, and why have they come? They are Moses and his brother Aaron. In our former chapter, we saw that Moses, upon the command of the Lord, returned to Egypt from which he had fled 40 years ago. On the way, he met his brother Aaron. Together they went to the land of Goshen, where their brethren lived. There they called the elders and rulers of the Israelites together. Aaron told the elders what had happened. He told them that God had appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He told them that the Lord had not forgotten them, but that he had heard their prayers. He also informed them that Moses must go to Pharaoh upon the command of God. After that, Aaron showed the signs which Moses had been told to do at the burning bush, the signs with the rod in his hand. The elders saw the hissing serpent and the leprous hand. The Israelitish rulers listened silently, and their hearts were filled with reverence. In the Bible we read, they believed. They had thought many times that their prayers were in vain, but now they believe that the Lord had heard their prayers and that he would deliver them. They gave thanks unto God for it. Oh, how glad they are! They will be delivered speedily, and that will not be long from now. Their eyes shine from gladness. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh, and that is how we come to see them standing before that mighty king. "For what reason did you come?" he asks sternly. "King, we came here upon the command of our God," they answered boldly. "The Lord, the God of Israel, says you must give our people a few days off. We will then go into the desert and there celebrate a feast to the honor of our God." Pharaoh gets red with rage. What? Does he hear right? Must he give that people their freedom for a few days so that they can celebrate a feast? No use talking. He shakes his head. Mockingly he asks, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. For a moment a deathly silence prevails. Everyone holds his breath. Hearken, these two men again speak. King, they say, the God whom we serve spoke to us. We ask you kindly, let us go. Otherwise we are afraid that our God will punish us with sickness or that something else will come upon us. Probably he will slay us with the sword. In anxious suspense they wait for the answer. But Pharaoh again shakes his head furiously. I told you that you couldn't go, and it remains that way. I cannot understand how you have the nerve to come here. You must work and not celebrate a feast. The Israelites are far too powerful already, and if I give them the slightest liberty, they will become much mightier. I will not even give it a thought. Go quickly to your work. Moses and Aaron silently leave the room. The Lord warned them beforehand that Pharaoh would not listen. Pharaoh watches them go, and he is angry. Who do these fellows imagine they are? Of course these gentlemen would like to hold a feast. Wait, I will remedy that. I will teach them to forget those jokes. He gives orders that the Egyptian taskmasters must come to him immediately. They come quickly. Just now two Israelites came before me, Pharaoh says contemptuously, and they asked me if they could have a little feast. Of course, I said no. But now I command you that you do not give the Israelites any straw. Let them look for it themselves. Let them gather the stubble which still lies upon the ground. Yet every day they must bake as many bricks as they did before. Remember that. We will make them work harder still. Now you must know, children, that those bricks were baked from clay. But to make them stronger, the clay was mixed with short, cut-up straw. Each morning the Israelites received some bundles of straw, which were chopped fine and mixed through the clay. That was heavy, difficult work. Upon the command of Pharaoh, that would not happen again. The following day, they would not receive any straw, but they had to cut the short stubble and in this manner gather enough for their needs. Stubble is the short stubs of grain stalks left in the fields after reaping. Naturally, that took much longer. And when night came, they had baked less bricks than the day before. Then the Egyptians were angry. The officers of the Israelites, whom the Egyptian taskmasters had appointed as their helpers, were called. These taskmasters spoke to them roughly and gave them a beating. Mercilessly, the Egyptians thrashed them with their heavy sticks. The Israelites screamed and groaned. But it didn't help them. However, that was mean and dishonest. Before this, they had worked hard and scarcely could finish the designated number of bricks. And now they received no straw. It took them hours to gather the straw, and still they are required to bake the same amount of bricks. They cannot do it. It is impossible. They went to Pharaoh and complained about the injustice done to them. But Pharaoh laughed mockingly and said tauntingly, What? Are you coming with a complaint? About what? It seems to me that you are bored and that you have nothing to do. That is why you want to go and celebrate a feast. It will remain as I said. You will not receive any straw. but the number of bricks which you must make remains the same. Do you understand? And no back talk anymore. Get to work. Look, there they go with bowed heads. They had expected things to become better, but instead it becomes worse. They meet Moses and Aaron outside. They are filled with bitterness. They walk towards these two men and say in anger, "It is your fault that Pharaoh is so angry with us. You should never have spoken." That wasn't nice of these Israelites, because Moses didn't do it on his own accord, but the Lord had sent him. It would have been better if they had cried to God in their distress. Moses also does not know what to think of it. He seeks for solitude and prays to God. "Lord," he says, "thou hast commanded me to go to Pharaoh, and since the time that I was there, it has become far worse. Why is it that thou hast sent me? Thou hast promised that thou would deliver this people, but that has not happened." Children, again, Moses has no desire to do this work. You can hear that, can't you? But the Lord commands Moses to again go to the king of Egypt and to ask him, "Let the children of Israel go." But the Lord tells Moses beforehand that Pharaoh will not listen. Moses and Aaron appear for the second time before Pharaoh in the royal palace. Pharaoh recognizes them immediately. "Are you here again?" rings his angry voice. "What are you coming for? Didn't I command you to go to your work?" "King, so says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go." Pharaoh is silent for a moment. He is astonished that these two men again dare appear before him. It could cost them their lives. He only needs to speak one word, and it would be bad for them. He could have them beaten to death. In any event, they are no cowards. "So," the king answers slowly, "so, does the God of the Israelites say that? I do not know who this God is. Perform a miracle. Let me see if your God really is so powerful." He looks at Moses and Aaron with a mocking smile. He thinks that they will be embarrassed because they will not be able to satisfy that demand. But he is mistaken. Moses and Aaron are not embarrassed, but calmly they continue to stand there. Upon the command of Moses, Aaron casts his rod upon the ground, and the eyes of the Egyptians grow big with astonishment. Suddenly, this rod changes into a twisting, hissing serpent. "Pharaoh, look, there you have a sign, a proof of the power of Israel's God." But Pharaoh calls the wise men and the magicians of Egypt to come. He told them what had happened and said, "Do as they have done." The Egyptian magicians likewise cast their rods upon the ground, and they also turn into serpents. Probably you are thinking, how is that possible? Are the Egyptian magicians just as powerful as the Lord? No, indeed not. Look and see what is happening. The serpent which came from the rod of Aaron creeps to the other serpents and swallows them all. By this, the Lord would show that he is the strongest. The Lord permitted those serpents to come, but then the Lord lets them see that he is mightier than the magicians and the idols of Egypt. "Look, Pharaoh, can't you see that this is something out of the ordinary? Why didn't the serpents of the magicians eat Aaron's serpent? Do you know why that did not happen? Because they couldn't. However, Pharaoh takes no notice of it. He will not listen. We read in the Bible that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. That is dreadful, boys and girls. He would not listen to the voice of the Lord. He sent Moses and Aaron away. The Lord warned him, but Pharaoh would not heed the warnings. Then you must suffer the consequence, Pharaoh. What do you do, children? The warning voice of the Lord also comes to us. It tells us to forsake sin and to fear the Lord. Do you do that? Do you really want to serve the Lord? I do not ask if your desire is to go to heaven, because everyone wants that. No, but is it your desire to fear God in truth? If the minister tells you every Sunday that you must be converted, that you must receive a new heart, and that you must ask for that often, do you also do so? Or are you unconcerned about it? If you are, then that is also terrible, children. Then you do exactly the same as Pharaoh, who would not listen either. Then your heart is also being hardened.